We want you to feel pride, so we found a very proud individual. Hello, my name is Drew. Welcome to Fascinating People on 99.3 Moose FM. This is the show where we grab somebody from the community, anybody, and have them chat for 30 minutes about themselves. Because it's our firm belief that everybody is fascinating. You just have to get them to tell you why. This week, we have Michelle Gervais, who is actually a local, grew up here in Sturgeon Falls, but lives in Toronto. Michelle is a drag queen and is currently on the board of West Nipissing Pride, so you know what kind of conversation we're going to be having today. A great one. And hopefully you can join us. And if you want to be a part of Fascinating People, send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. I'm sure we can work something out. But for now, we have Michelle on this week's edition of Fascinating People.
My name is Michelle Gervais, also known as Genesipo. That's my drag queen name. And I'm from Sturgeon Falls originally, but now I live in Toronto.
I guess we'll start off with the elephant in the room. So you're a drag queen.
I'm a drag queen, yes.
Is this a hobby or a profession? How deep are you in that culture?
At this point, I've been doing it for almost 2 years, just under 2 years. So I mean, it's still a hobby, but I have been getting paid gigs and doing it pretty consistently for the past year and a half. So I guess it's starting to become more of a profession.
I was going to say, if you're getting paid for it, you're doing it right. You're doing a profession.
I mean, yeah, true.
You are a professional.
She's a professional. So she's a working woman.
There you go. So for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about what a drag queen is.
Yeah, so basically, being a drag queen or a drag performer is you get dressed up in really intense makeup, and there's different names to it. Some like to be called female impersonators, some like being called drag queens, and yeah, it's just performance art. Usually, you perform in clubs. Right now, since we're in quarantine, we're performing on Zoom, and I basically dress up like a woman clown and I dance songs.
That is certainly one way to put it. My when my mother first heard about the culture, she called them all, you know what they are? They're dazzlers. It's what they do. They dazzle the audience.
Oh my God. I like that.
So it fits.
Yeah.
You say your name is Je ne sais pas?
Yes.
Okay, where did that one come from? Because you when you become someone in this profession, you kind of put on a persona. You put a different name and you become a character. Am I right?
Pretty much. Usually you have like a stage name. It doesn't necessarily have to be a character. Some people really have a full-blown concept. I kind of, for a while, like to come up with funny drag names. And Jenna Seppa was one of them. And then when I decided to actually start performing, I went through my little note document in my phone and I was like, oh, I like this one. And I just kept it. And it kind of worked with kind of my whole shtick of being kind of ditzy, stupid, funny. I don't know. You know what I mean? So it just worked. So it's fun.
Kind of like quirky, quirky personality.
Yeah, a little bit. Exactly.
So then let's go to that origin. When was the moment that you said, I want to try this out?
Well, that goes back to over 2.5 years ago, and I was just kind of, I've always played around with makeup, kind of like dealing with acne. I kind of wanted to cover it up, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually I was like, wait, let's have fun with this. And then drag was at this point starting to become more and more mainstream. So I was hearing about it much more. And then I just tried it out and I liked it. And since it's me doing it and I take everything to the extreme, I decided to actually start performing.
So did you just go to, like, is there a bar that has a drag night, or is there like a website to go to? Like, how did you actually get your foot in the door of getting on a stage and performing for an audience?
So yeah, I was actually out one night and one of my friends who's from North Bay that I hadn't seen in like over a year, he was also kind of interested in doing drag. And there's a lot, I mean, in Toronto, we have the entire village and pretty much every bar has some drag. So we decided, you know what, let's go out like together, let's get ready together and let's pick it a night. And there's a few open stages and things like that. And I think he also was kind of had more of a foot in the door with one of the competitions that we both ended up entering. And out of the 34 contestants, we ended up being second and third place, which was really cool.
On your first go around?
Yeah, my first competition, I ended up in third place.
Well, if you don't like it then, you pretty much know if you're being praised for your work.
It was more of a voting-based competition, and a lot of my friends showed up, and it was great.
There's the humbleness of you coming out to play. It was my friends that voted for me. Really, it was nothing.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. And then last fall, actually, there was another season of the competition, which I actually won, which was great.
There you go. So then how would you describe that community? I'm very much an outsider. I went to North Bay Pride had a show going on as a fundraiser. I want to say it was before quarantine, isolation, COVID-19. And that was really my first introduction into that culture, was seeing these performers on stage. And I'm wondering, as somebody inside the community, what is it like on the other side of that stage, behind the scenes?
First of all, a lot of fun. It's interesting because there's so many different kinds of drag performers. There's drag queens, drag kings, more like gender performers, club kids. Yeah, I mean, I could go on forever. So it's really, it depends on the performer themselves, what they want to kind of perform. Some are mainly dancers, some like the comedy aspect. I like kind of like a mix of both. I also really like makeup. So it's just a fun outlet to do whatever you want and kind of show you want to do. It's just at this point, it can get a little tricky because you always want to show something new. But it's just literally fun. I'm in quarantine right now doing a weekly show, and I spend the week working on concepts, and then I put my laptop in the kitchen counter, set up some lights, turn on Zoom, and then over 50 people show up with my co and watch me and my co-host dance around in our kitchens. At this point, it's ridiculous, but it's so much fun.
Well, it kind of seems like that's the whole idea, is to be as over the top and colorful as possible.
Yeah, really. Getting in drag for the first time, or just getting in drag in general, you kind of unlock certain parts of yourself that you never knew you had. And you kind of unlock parts of your personality you didn't know you had, and you kind of just let go and have fun.
So if we can roll off of that for a bit, like, let's say somebody is starting out in drag. They, like you, like to apply makeup, and they unlock this inner sense of theirs, this inner performer. What are some what are some things that you wish you knew when you started out?
Well, that's a great question. I feel like the ego is always something you have to be careful with, careful of. Because at this point, drag is really becoming more and more mainstream. So there's kind of a pressure to follow certain norms that have been established. But I think if you just kind of do whatever you want to do and not completely ignore the norms, because obviously you want to know where it comes from, but adapt it to your own ideas and concepts, I think that's the best way to do it. It's adapt it to your ideas and standards.
So earlier we were talking, I just briefly mentioned North Bay Pride, but one of the main reasons you and I are talking now is West Nipissing Pride.
Yes.
That launched sometime in the middle of May, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, May 17th, we launched our Facebook page to the public, so everyone knows that we're here now, which is really exciting.
So how did that all begin? Because you said you did grow up here, but you say you're in Toronto now. So how did you become a part of this group?
So it was actually my mom who kind of formed the group in the beginning. I mean, I'm the gay son, so I guess it's my fault. and then we managed to get members of council involved, Mayor Joanne is involved, and we have also people in the community that are part of the committee. And then we slowly are, I mean, we're still, since we're starting out, we're kind of looking for also volunteers in the community. And when we started actually having meetings, at that point I was in Sturgeon Falls with my family. So we were having meetings together, and we were sitting down having conversations, you know, brainstorming ideas, and now it's out, and it's everyone has access to what we're doing. It's really exciting, and we have events coming soon, and hopefully this keeps going, and next year I get to come up and perform and have more events that, you know, don't require staying at home.
Yeah, with a camera and, you know,
exactly,
only the highest quality microphone that you can find in the house.
Yes.
Well, and one day I hope to see Je ne sais pas on stage, because that I think is going to be an absolute thrill.
It would be so much fun, honestly, performing in Sturgeon, especially right now at this point where I'm performing from my kitchen. I miss the stage.
Oh, I believe it. You've been, because I mean, doing it for 2 years and suddenly having to just, you know, you left the house to be something. And then when you're stuck at home, you're like, well, I want to be myself. I just want to be me relaxing at home.
Mm-hmm. What's exciting is with the weekly show that I have, the Drink Twinks, which actually started over a year and a half ago at a bar, the bar that I had the competition at, called The Drink. We're actually one of the busier digital drag shows right now, and it's been going really, really well. Last night, actually, I had a show. So cut to me, first of all, at 2 a.m. last night, taking off my makeup before bed. but we had a record number of viewers last night. I think at our peak, we had over 80 people watching. We had a special guest, Priyanka, who's just been announced as one of the contestants of Canada's Drag Race. So, yeah, our show has been really going really well. And even though we're at home, we're still getting a lot of viewers.
So the Drink Twinks is one of my favorite names of all time. That's fantastic. So is it an interview show kind of like this? What do you guys do?
So there's four of us. We started out as three co-hosts. We have me, Je ne sais pas. We have Miss Steak, who's actually from North Bay.
Sorry, Miss, that was a great Steak name.
I love her name. And then we have Quintessential and the Ugly One.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt with laughter.
Oh, it's great. No, yeah, we're a great little group, and we chat, we perform songs, usually song mixes, and put little numbers together, fun costumes, and yeah, if anyone wants to watch us, we're on Zoom every week, and we usually post our little Zoom code on our Instagrams, and it's just us making a fool out of ourselves, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's incredible. I'm definitely finding that. So back to the West Nipissing Pride group. What is your capacity? Are you there as an events coordinator? What's your title on the board?
My position is VP of Equity. So I kind of focus on just making sure that everything is kind of politically correct, that we have everything as inclusive as possible. So that's kind of my role. But we all kind of collaborate pretty collectively as our entire committee. We each have our positions, but it's very collaborative, and we all do our part in every little aspect of what we need to do, which is great.
That makes sense, because out of the members of the board, you seem the most outspoken for the LGBT community. Am I off base at all with that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have a good amount of queer people in our group, but I'm kind of working in the community a bit more since I'm in like the biggest city in Canada, which I mean, I'm it's great, because I can kind of see from an outside perspective and kind of try to bring that to West Nipissing.
So let's then go deeper into your experience being from the big city and all. What is your, I know when I ask what is your connection with the LGBTQ community, is obviously you are a homosexual, but have you engaged in the community in any other aspects, events, fundraising? Are there things you do to be very proactive in that community?
Actually, in high school, that's back in Sturgeon, me and my friend organized, with the help of obviously teachers and other students, a little Pride Day at school. On May 17th of 2017, International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. So we kind of organized a theme day. Everyone could dress in rainbow colors, and we had little posters on the school and things like that. So that was, you know, one of my first activist endeavors for the queer community. And now in Toronto, while we're doing the West of Sing Pride, I'm doing it remotely from here. And also, I've always kind of been part of little committees in university and within the community. When I go out in the village and things like that, I always try to throw little political numbers during shows once in a while, just to kind of, you know, bring up some issues.
To keep people informed.
I haven't had it in a while, but I try to once in a while.
I guess it's kind of when the moment calls for it, right? You want to make sure that it's not so much in your face as it is, please listen to me. I want you to know this.
Exactly. And also as a drag queen, I feel like just, even though to me, I just dress up as a clown and dance around, certain people have a problem with that. So just doing it is making a statement. Yeah. Drag is kind of inherently political in that way.
Unfortunately, everything seems kind of political now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can't just have some fun.
Exactly. Exactly. I just want to play dress up and get paid for it.
It is the dream. So back in high school, you had already come out at that point, like that early in your life?
Yeah, I was 15 when I actually came out. And at that point, I was 17 when I started, when we worked on that event.
And what kind of drove you to proclaiming who you were?
I think you have to kind of come out to yourself in the first place and kind of come to terms with your own identity. And then once I came to terms with that, I was like, well, I guess now I have to be honest. Well, not tell other people, just to kind of share that part of me. So I did. And it was really well received overall, which was great. I have an amazingly supportive family, and my friends were also really supportive. And I was also, funny enough, surrounded by queer friends also, even when I didn't even know before even they were out. So yeah, it was just kind of a thing that I needed to do for myself. And now since I was raised in a really political family, I can't stop talking about it and sharing and trying to make others' lives better, because I had it so easy and a lot of people don't have that opportunity.
You said earlier that during your shows you'd throw out numbers and statistics and stories. What are some of the things, because mostly the show is performance, it's putting on the makeup, being a clown,
yeah,
performing to music, but what are some of the things you do bring up in your show that has a little bit more of a political edge to it?
Ooh, actually, I have one specific thing that I like to talk about, since I'm also Franco-Ontarien.
Mm-hmm.
I like to kind of highlight that side of the community, French-speaking queer people, since we are, especially in Canada, kind of a smaller group within the community. I like to either throw in French songs to a more widely English-speaking audience. But yeah, I like to kind of play around with my language identity also. But going back to being queer, I think being a drag queen or being just a queer person, oftentimes we're more inclined to being in creative fields or like in entertainment fields. And I think it's really interesting to see that. But I think it's such a deeply rooted part of our community that I think sharing it to kind of straight audiences helps us just to get them to like kind of understand what we like to do and what we just are naturally inclined to do without any like ulterior motives. It's just kind of what we want to do naturally, if that makes sense.
It does. And is that what you're planning to do with this page, is to show it's okay to be as outworldly or as subtle as you want to be?
Yeah, exactly. We kind of just want to show that whatever you want to do, do it. Unless, you know, it harms other people. There will be a space for what you want to do. You just have to find it or, you know, whatever. But our page kind of shows that we're open or accepting to that. And if it's just for someone to seek out, you know, a conversation with one of the members of the committee, then I think we did our job. You know what I mean? If we just help one person kind of come to terms with themselves, or they need to reach out to someone, that's kind of a place to start, especially up north where there's not really as many resources as Toronto, for example.
No, it seems to be we have mostly online and telephone services where there's not really a station, a building.
Yeah, exactly. And we're hoping to eventually, you know, be more accessible in person. But yeah, exactly. We want to have something that's more accessible to everyone and show also that there is a queer community up north. You know, obviously I don't live there anymore at the moment, but so I think just having that kind of exposure helps with awareness to know that queer people exist everywhere and that it's, you know, obviously simply as we're allowed to be alive and exist. So hopefully through events and, you know, talking about different statistics and just bringing resources up north, there's a wider acceptance and hopefully we can change people's minds what being queer is.
And it's like you said earlier, it's not hurting anyone.
Exactly. It really isn't. If anything, it's hurting ourselves because drag is painful. Being corseted and build your own body, not the most comfortable thing, turns out, and wearing high heels for, you know, 6 hours.
It reminds me of a story. When I was in high school, I was in the drama class in grade 10, and I don't remember what I was playing. I was the mother in some situation, and I had to wear high heels for 2 hours, and my feet, they almost fell off. I couldn't stand it. It's the only time I've ever worn high heels, and it's completely turned me off the concept.
Oh my God.
Since. I don't think I could ever put them on again.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, high heels, not the most comfortable thing. At this point, I feel great in them. I love walking in heels. And funny enough, I'm always the mother in every situation. And when you said I was playing the mother, I was like, yeah, usually that's me.
How do you mean?
Like last night, our theme for our show was sci-fi. So I did a full Jetsons number dressed as Jane Jetson. So I styled like this wig that was really, really just big, like a big, just high volume redhead ball of hair. I always lean towards mother characters for some reason.
Well, I mean, it makes sense to me. You sound like you're a nurturing person. Being a part of this group is a perfect example. You're wanting people to reach out and ask questions.
Yeah, exactly. We're just here to kind of help as much as we can.
So where do you see this page, this group going, this committee, down the line? Do you guys have a goal you're setting? Not for like next month or next year, but somewhere where you really want to be when you grow?
Yeah. We've been talking a lot of, you know, hopefully collaborating with other Pride groups across the province, especially in smaller communities like North Bay and Sudbury up nearby, but also we're hoping to get other, you know, municipalities up north to follow suit. And hopefully down the line, every town and city has at least a little committee that does their part. But also just within that West Nipissing, hopefully our page leads us to creating more events, more, you know, even drag nights. I'd be more than happy to come up anytime and just make West Nipissing overall a more open and safe space for queer people. Hopefully have more queer people want to stay, have their space. You know what I mean? Just to kind of have this more inclusive and accepting place. So there's no, or not as much at least, homophobia or biases or just negative opinions towards queer people.
Yeah, what?
Because I know when I was in high school, it was pretty good. I was also just a very outspoken person. So I just think people were nice to me because I know just talking to my sister who's still in high school, there's a lot of, and even when I was there, there's a lot of little comments and things like that get, you know, thrown around, and hopefully eventually it's not even an issue and people don't even think of speaking that way. You know what I mean? And just kind of mind their own business when it comes to queer people and hopefully become more friendly and straight and queer people can more easily be closer.
It's like the old adage, people fear what they don't understand. And
exactly.
If all you know is that men are with women and that makes a child, then you're going to fear the things that come out. But the more you kind of dive in and learn that, okay, these are also human beings too, better you get along.
Exactly. It's as simple as that. And hopefully we can kind of shatter that layer of ignorance that kind of lingers in the area. Obviously, there's a lot of great people that are really nice and accepting, but there's always, you know, that group of ignorance that's around.
There's always that group. The one party pooper. There's always one.
Party. I just want to play dress up once again. Let me play dress up.
Let me play dress up. If you ever write a biography, that should be the title. Let everyone play dress up.
Yeah. Dress up for all.
So we're just about running out of time here. I wondered if there's anything that you would like to talk about in the final minutes.
What did I not cover? I'll just talk about how the Facebook page went, the launch. The launch went really well. There's a lot of great feedback. A lot of other pages actually were sharing a lot of our videos and introductory content. So I'm excited to see what Pride Month, you know, brings, and just what the months bring in general. Because the feedback's been pretty well. Also, I just launched an Etsy shop, and I'm selling little clay figurines of my drag persona and different types of jewelry as well.
Okay, hold on. We got to unpack this. So you've created basically an action figure line of Je ne sais pas.
Yes, I did.
That is amazing.
It launched yesterday, actually. Last night, I made it public. And yeah, so now anyone can have a little Jenna in their house.
All right. I'm going to need you to send me a link of that so that when we post this audio on mywestnipissingnow.com, people can go and find this because I need to know what these things look like. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for
thank you.
Coming on and talking with us. It's been an absolute joy.
I had a blast. Thank you so much.